I feel like Christmas music epitomizes what the true feeling of Christmas should be rather than what it's become.
I feel like Christmas music epitomizes what the true feeling of life should be.
Oh, shit.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And this week, as we head into the holidays, we're going to talk about finding joy beyond expectations this holiday season. Bean, you ready?
I'm ready. Hey, Bean.
Hi, Bean.
Hi, Bean. A warm welcome to you in this chilly winter time.
It's actually pretty chilly here, too, in Santa Barbara.
Oh, posh. Okay. What is it? You're like, it's like in the high 60s. See? Exactly.
No, sometimes it's in the 40s at night. I just want to be. Yeah. Hello.
I mean, it's been like down in the 20s here at night. So
I know. It's so cold.
Actually my cringe. Would you like my cringe?
Yes. Let's get right into it.
I don't want to mess around.
You have a holiday cringe?
I mean, it's a seasonal cringe, but not really. I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
And I think I talk about weather a lot and you get really angry and this is sort of related to the weather, but it's not. It's also related to my hormones. It's a combo pack for you. It's a seasonal hormonal problem. Okay. I ran hot my entire life, like on fire hot. No jacket in the winter time, nothing. I am now, as I'm perimenopausal, like so cold sometimes I can't shake it. I used to sleep in like a tank top and maybe pants if it was a good day. And now I'm like in sweatpants and a sweatshirt sometimes. I will sleep in a sweatshirt, which was unheard of my whole life. I am now so cold. I don't know what's happening. This isn't me.
Are you heating your house at the same level?
As what?
Like, is your house the same temperature?
As always?
As it's always been?
Yes. I'm freezing. I'm freezing outside. I'm freezing inside. I can't warm up. I'm always like going in. I'm like, oh, it's cold out there into stores. I'm like one of those people now.
With your wrapping your sweater around yourself.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Wait, you know that this is the opposite of a perimenopause symptom.
No, I looked it up. You can start having temperature dysregulation issues, which can be hot or cold. And maybe because I always ran hot, it's switching the other way. Because a lot of people run cold, don't you think?
Yes.
Yes. And then in menopause, they're hot, hot, hot.
Oh, you think that's the hot flash story?
I think I'll still have hot flashes. I just think that my hormones are wonky donky and they're making me feel all kinds of things. Like coldness, which really kind of sucks. Although so does feeling hot.
Do your hormones also make you say things like wonky donky?
Probably, because I've never said that before. Thanks, hormones and seasonal changes.
Just as you're turning into an old lady.
I go into stores and wrap my sweater and say, oh, it's a wonky donkey out there. Oy, oy, oy. All right, you say something that makes us not sound old.
Well, I have a delight, which is that my mama's birthday is right before Christmas. It's on the 23rd. She's a little Christmas baby. And
cutie patootie.
I am coming there to surprise her.
Wait. What if she hears this?
She's not going to hear it.
Our moms don't listen.
Our moms don't listen to our podcast. She always says, I miss this Tuesdays with Maury. When do you do that? It's like this Instagram thing I do on Tuesdays. So I know she watches that. I'm excited. It's really becoming more and more apparent how precious these birthdays are. So the kids and I are flying there to surprise her and hopefully not give her a heart attack and make her happy.
Which is so kind because you literally were just there.
I was just there. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
But I'm really floored.
I'm really realizing. I think it took us a couple of years to settle out here in California. Yeah. And now that we've settled, I'm like, oh, no, I do need to go back, want to go back more consistently to the East Coast. So I'm starting to notice myself booking more trips and like being more open to doing that. Whereas when we first moved here, I was like, I'm not leaving California ever.
Okay, well, I'm on the East Coast, so don't forget.
There you are. We're only coming for a few days.
I just meant one of your trips that you booked.
Oh, I never forget. And then we're going to go to Tahoe for Christmas. And I'm excited about that because it's so snowy and mountainy and
it might
it's
be cold.
Where TJ's from. It's going to be freezing. Yeah. But I like skiing, you know?
Yeah, you're
I'm
so
a skier
sporty.
Now, Bean. I'm a sporty spice.
Even when you say it, it doesn't add up to me. I still think it sounds like a comical joke.
Even when I say it, it doesn't add up to me. You know what really doesn't add up to people? You're going to get real upset about this. What? I think you know. I watch football like an avid fan now. Like I have
the Baltimore
Ravens game schedule printed out in my kitchen.
Why? Because of your neighbors?
Shout out, my neighbors got me.
Shout out, you guys. Hey, girls.
They start, like, when we moved here, our neighbors, who are my friends, like, now, would invite us over. They're big Chiefs fans. We'd watch. And it was like, they made it fun. But I think I realized it made me miss my uncle and my stepdad and, like, just how much football was on around when we lived in Maryland. So then I started getting homesick and just leaving football on Sundays. Then I was like, I miss Maryland. I wonder what the Ravens are up to. So I started watching the Ravens with my son. And Keon and I are so into it. We have jerseys that we put on every game. We went home for Thanksgiving. They had a game that Monday and I was like, we have to watch. So we went to my uncle's house. My cousin was like, what in the hell? This is awful. Like, are we sitting here watching a Ravens game because of you? Look, but that's who I am now. I need you to accept me.
I want to accept you, but I also feel like, who are you? You ski and watch football? Are we going to be friends by next year?
Hopefully. I get it. This is a metamorphosis.
It's really hard for me.
Speaking of challenges.
The holidays, eh?
The holidays. Okay, so the holidays are here. However you celebrate, there's a lot that goes with it. So we thought we would do a little check-in with you all before you go off into the holiday chaos. This is also notably our last episode of the year. We'll be back with new episodes in January, but this is our last episode this year.
And so we thought,
how do we want to go out in 2024? We want to make sure you go into these holidays and you're able to reclaim your holiday spirit and find some joy, even in the pressure and the chaos and the expectations of it all.
I'm not going to lie. Every year as a Jew, in case anyone doesn't know, around Christmas time, truth talk, am always so grateful that I don't celebrate it because it seems like so much that you go into stores and like, it's like ransacked, like the shelves are half empty. Yeah. Everything's unfolded. People are mad. They're honking in the parking lot. It never seems so joyful to me. I get the idea of it being joyful, but every year I'm like, oh, thank God I don't have to overspend, overstress, host a million people. And like, we just have our silly little Hanukkah.
When is Hanukkah this year?
So late. It's like after Christmas. It ends 2 days before my son's birthday. So I have 8 days of Hanukkah.
It goes all the way into January.
It goes into January. It ends January 2nd. So subtract 8. Yeah. It's so late this year.
It is.
Silly little Jews.
It's also like all up in New Year's territory.
New Year's and then Remy's birthday. It's too much. Get out of here, Hanukkah. Get out of here.
Well, okay. So that's interesting. I wonder then if you feel like, where I thought we'd start is like, why do we put so much pressure on ourselves around the holidays? And it has a lot to do with societal expectations. Like, do you feel being Jewish then and not having this Christmas stuff that there are societal expectations in your community about like holiday traditions and like how to have the perfect Hanukkah and like, yeah, you don't see a lot of that content, but you see the like perfect tree, perfect gifts, perfect family, perfect Christmas morning kind of
stuff. That's because Hanukkah is not supposed to be like that anyway. My mother actually, you'll believe this, was a big believer in not like Christmasizing Hanukkah. So every year we got like tiny gifts each night. I have to say I go a little bigger for my kids, but like I got my favorite gift one year was like a 90210 lip gloss. That was my gift that night. It was like a strawberry roller lip gloss. And I was like, hell yeah, mom. But she never wanted to make it like Christmas. I don't even think she likes that I like to decorate as much as I do for Hanukkah because it's too Christmassy to her. Hanukkah's not supposed to be like that.
What do you decorate? What does it look like?
Hanukkah decorations suck.
Yeah.
It's the worst. It's just what like a bunch of Jewish stars. There's like literally like dreidels and menorahs and Jewish stars. It's not that fun.
It's not as fun as reindeer and Santa's.
I agree. And ask my kids. They're like hardcore.
This is bad, but I feel bad in Western cultures when kids don't get to have Christmas fun.
Well, we get 8 crazy nights.
8 crazy nights. Well, by the way, I'm not Christian. I think everyone who listens knows that, but I did grow up celebrating Christmas, I think just culturally, but the consumerization part of it for sure. Like it's all about the Christmas presents and the Christmas cheer and like Christmas Eve and the dinner. And I love love Christmas music. Like, I'm telling you,
oh, I
on
do too.
Thanksgiving Day,
me too.
I made us all start listening, and we've been listening since then.
It's cheerful and joyful.
It's so cheerful and jazzy too.
Yeah, actually. I feel like that epitomize. I feel like Christmas music epitomizes that what the true feeling of Christmas should be, rather than what it's become. Yeah.
I feel like Christmas music epitomizes what the true feeling of life should be.
Oh, shit. Let's just do it year round.
I'm just like, God, I just want to live in this feeling.
Sleigh bells.
Yeah.
That's all. Ooh, yeah. That's all you get from me today.
Wow.
But I do think it sucks for you guys that you have so much pressure.
Well, I just think that, like, it's really about, like, you know, what we talk about this all the time, but like what social media, what like consumerism teaches us about Christmas and about the holidays. And so I think that my flag for y'all that's been the freedom moment for me is, you know, what are the outside expectations that I'm trying to match? And is that fun anymore? Like, no. Am I actually enjoying doing it the way I saw on TV or on Instagram? Or is there a way that like our family, so for example, we go to Tahoe the day after Christmas every year since the kids were little. That's our Christmas tradition. Like, it's more about that to us than anything else. And that really had to be about what is actually going to bring you guys joy as a family, not what are you being told from the outside is a perfect holiday or the right way to do this or the right place to be for this.
But so, I think that's the problem. That's why I think people are stressing themselves out, because their kids have these expectations now. It's not even you having like, I need the perfect this, I need the perfect that. I think it's these kids are seeing so much shit everywhere and then they want it.
Totally. And I think then the financial stress and pressure that comes with the holiday season, let's just give that a moment. You know, you want to fulfill these expectations. You want it to be the perfect holiday. And then you put yourself in financial strain to make that happen, which then does not make it perfect. So I guess I would challenge us all to ask, is it the feeling of being together and connected and finding some joy and cheer in this moment? Does that matter more than making it perfect, making it materialistic, making it big and bold? Like, what's the cost, I guess, is my question. What's the cost of meeting some high expectation on your own enjoyment? And is it worth it? That's checkpoint number one I'd like to offer in our conversation.
I think also, I don't know if this is correct, but it seems that you Christians also buy 100%. So many gifts for extended people. Like for me, for Hanukkah, I just get my kids stuff.
Right.
I'm not getting like my parents and like my neighbors. Like, I'm not doing all this stuff. And it seems that there is an expectation that you buy for your cousins, your aunts, because you have these huge parties. I can't imagine the financial burden people must endure to be able to provide even small gifts for that number of people. And the pressure of like thinking and making it meaningful and all of that. Part of our brainstorming when we talked about this was, what were other ideas?
One thing our family started doing was just picking a cause and a charity, and like each family would buy something for a family we adopted or a cause, and that would be the way we did it. But then we'd sneak in. I'm always the worst. I'd sneak in a little gift from my cousin who's like my sister and this and that. But I think for me, it's about how much I enjoy giving people gifts.
Yeah,
and also taking the pressure off of like, it doesn't have to be expensive. It has to be thoughtful.
But that's hard.
I know.
That's even more pressure, is making it thoughtful.
Yeah, it's true. So I think it's like, I don't know. I think that if that financial strain is there, get creative about how you guys. We did one year, we wrote each other letters.
Oh, I saw that as a suggestion.
We wrote each other love letters.
I Googled some different ideas because I thought, we're saying all this, but people need some tangible shit. And one of them was writing gratitude notes instead of buying gifts, which I'm sure like not everybody can get behind. But other ones I thought were cute were cooking together, like just taking the day and like spending the day cooking the meal together instead of putting the pressure on one host.
Yeah.
A movie marathon. How fun would that be instead? And you could buy like little things, like someone could buy the popcorn, somebody could buy the candy, somebody could buy like cozy blankets, and then you could do like a relaxed event. And then my own idea was, everyone buys, this is my own, if I had Christmas and I wanted to change it, I would make everyone buy one board game, and then we would like there would be an order and people would get to pick which board game we play first. And then you would do like a white elephant of who takes home which board game.
That's cute. That's a really good idea.
That was my own idea. Thank you.
You know what? I really feel like the point here is the memories.
Yes.
And the togetherness. And that does have a longer lasting effect than the whatever.
That is proven. Yes.
It really is. So it's like creating experiences together. I love that. We did 1 year, my family, there's like 18 of us. So 1 year we picked a name out of a hat and we had whoever's name you picked, you went and just did a little experience with them throughout the year. Like you took them to lunch or you took them, whatever you thought they'd love. So it was like about quality time together. That's so yeah, really there's, I think there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, I think that for our kids, there's a little bit of like, depending on Santa and all of that, like, there's a little bit of money that does get spent on presents. But I also think just challenging everyone, like if you have kids, just the way that they can tear through stuff and not stop and be present with it. So like really making sure that like you're doing it in a way that's slow and they have to stop and really like appreciate the thing they have before they move on to the next thing, because it loses its meaning, I think.
I say with 8 nights of Hanukkah, it's the same thing. Like the first night's super exciting. And I sort of stagger my gifts so that like the first one is the least exciting and the last one is the most exciting. But by day like 4 or 5, it's kind of like, yep, where are our presents? You know what I mean? Yeah. And my kids aren't not grateful, but it's almost like, yep, we've been doing this for 4 days.
Yeah, totally.
And it kind of feels icky.
Yeah. More is not more, I think. I think less is more.
But that is tricky in this society because they see all of these things and they see all of their friends. I mean, my daughter has a white elephant party or something and the she's 13 and the price range is $40 to $60.
No way. My high schooler, is the max is $10.
Exactly. What in the fudge is this? That's what I was like, what? And then she was like, I might be invited to another one. I was like, hell no. I am not dropping $100 on some strangers.
Yeah, that's wild. That's way too much.
It's ridiculous. But this is like a big 20-person party or something. I'm like, all these kids are going to spend it. And again, I feel like it takes away from the fun of like just getting together. And I always think cookie exchanges look really fun.
We used to do that when I was young. Yeah.
Who doesn't love that? Like a cookie bar?
Yeah.
That sounds great. I think we need some more tangible ideas and we didn't come up with
them. You gave a lot of them. I think, again, it's just like, I think in this realm, I think we're just saying, hey, if you're feeling yourself stressed out right now about spending the money or about making it look perfect, just check that against your own values. What do you actually really value? Is it time spent? Is it presence? Is it memories? Is it experiences? And just make sure that you're living your values during the holidays, not trying to like check some box that was externally created for you about what perfect looks like. That's, I think, checkpoint number one.
And I do really think that most people, if in their souls, their number one is the memories.
100%.
So if that is your goal, like all of these other things contribute to the memory for sure, but your kid's not going to remember if you had tinsel on every doorway rather than one doorway. They're going to remember what it felt like to be with you and to see a little sparkle in the background, but to be with you and to spend the time with you. I just had this random memory just now.
What?
When I was getting married and I was in the stress of wedding planning and it's so awful. Everybody knows it. And you're so trying to, you want all the things and it seems so overwhelming. And I called you crying and you said to me, take a minute. I think you're losing the sight of what marriage is actually about, which is like you two coming together. I was so caught up in like the details and the space and what everything looked like. And I feel like that completely applies here. That we're forgetting the meaning of being, of Christmas.
What is the meaning? What is the meaning of the holiday? Really, like, stop and ask yourself, what does this mean? And by the way, if your answer is it doesn't mean anything to me, cool. That's take fine. Some of the pressure off yourself then and stop pretending like it does. You know, like my husband's like that. He's like, I don't know why I need a day on the calendar to feel like togetherness and joy. It feels very like commercial to him. And so he doesn't like necessarily put the pressure on himself to make it anything that day. He's like, we could do anything today. It doesn't matter to me. And that's just who he is. For me, the meaning is genuinely the, like, I love all of the like I said, the music, the decorations, I like the vibe, yeah. right? So like my value is vibes.
Right.
So it's like about the energy of the holiday, and that's what I value. And so I really focus on cultivating an energy that feels good to me and making sure that I'm feeling like cheerful on that day in a way that feels good to me. And also I want you parents out there to know that if you are cheerful, your kids will be cheerful.
Agreed.
If you are stressed out because you think you've got to make it this perfect thing for them, it doesn't matter how big that tree is or what's under it. They are not going to feel the energy of joy, which is the meaning. So whatever makes you feel good, that's going to help your family feel good.
And for some people, what makes them feel good is doing all the shit. And if it does, totally. And that works for you, go for it.
Well, but that was the next thing I was going to say is the next like checkpoint or gateway here around enjoying it is just checking your shoulds. Let's just get rid of should and make it I want to. If it's something that you want to do,
that's
going to bring you a sense of cheerfulness, holiday spirit, whatever, then do it because you want it. But just check yourself as you're doing things and make sure there's not a should in there, because that should is causing you to be inauthentic. And then that's causing you to be stressed out and resentful and spread Scrooge energy instead of holiday energy.
What about those people though, who like their Aunt Mary is going to get really pissed if you don't get her a gift, or the vibe's going to be off at the Christmas day if you don't, you know, whatever it means, make this huge epic dessert that you told your grandmother you'd make, but it isn't on your should list.
It's on your should list.
I mean, it's on your should list and not on your want list. How are you supposed to work through that dynamic? Like, how do you set a boundary without offending people?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a balance between community, collective commitments, you know, and taking your community, your family into consideration if there's a commitment that you've made that's going to make, you know, like following through on a commitment, depending on the size of it.
Right.
I think you have to balance that with how much is this costing me? And if it's costing you your well-being, your mental health, then it's about increasing your tolerance for letting other people down.
Yeah.
And valuing your own well-being over other people's disappointment, which is hard. But if you practice it with practice, you will become very good at it. But you can do that compassionately. I don't think that you need to turn into, you know, a cold-hearted a-hole who's like, I don't care about your trifle that I promised. It's like, here's why I couldn't do it here, you know, and I went and bought some cookies instead. And doing that with loving energy in a way that's still taking care of yourself. So that's what I think. I think it's choosing your mental and physical, spiritual well-being over not wanting to disappoint other people. And then they also come around, and people who want the best for you will understand that.
Right.
And if they don't want the best for you, don't get them the damn present.
Right. Or don't maybe stop spending Christmas with them if they don't want the best
for you. Exactly. It's so true. Okay. So shoulds are out, want to's instead. That's how we're going to bring out.
Also, what did you say before, which is my new favorite thing you said? What did you say? My value is vibes.
Yeah, I value vibes.
I value vibes. I honestly think that should be for everyone.
You made a sweatshirt because we were walking down the street once and I said, I live on vibes only. And then showed up 2 weeks later, a sweatshirt that said, I live on vibes only. Oh, it's true.
You do.
The energy of something is my whole experience of
it. Me too.
Yeah.
Totally. I'm totally on board. I value vibes. Yeah.
We value vibes.
That's and you know what? All of you should hear. Yeah. You all should do the same thing. Get on that value train.
Okay. So we're going to make sure that we aren't trying to be perfect or following some other person's rules about what a good holiday, perfect holiday is. We're going to relieve some of that pressure. We're going to check in with our own personal values. What do you value? How do you make sure your values are a part of the way you celebrate the holidays? And then you're going to let go of shoulds. You're going to focus on wants. Now let's get to some mindfulness around the holidays.
So nice.
This can really, I think, help round us out and just make the holidays a little bit less stressful. So the first one is always around the holidays, finding gratitude. I actually did a post about this on Thanksgiving that people said was very helpful, which is sometimes in life, it's very, very hard to find immense gratitude if your life is right now overwhelming, disappointing, grief is there, whatever that you're going through that might be hard. Like, it's okay not to be jumping from the rooftops with gratitude, but like, what are the little tiny things that bring you little tiny moments of joy that you can be grateful for? For me, it is when it gets dark and the Christmas tree's lit up and it's the only lighting that's in the house and I'm sitting in the living room.
That's pretty.
Like, it makes me so happy. And I stop and I go, oh, I'm so grateful for this right now. So just finding the little things that make your heart fizz with joy, and just stopping yourself and being mindful of the gratitude you're feeling in that moment for whatever is happening. And if it's not holiday related, that's okay. What can you do for yourself in this season that gives you those little moments of like, ah, or this is exciting, or this makes me happy in this moment, something tiny. Collect those moments and stop and really take them in.
And maybe write them down and then next year revisit them when you're feeling really stressed out and you need a reminder of what's really important. I was really thinking when you were saying this, though, you can see in my face, was that all of these tips are honestly kind of helpful for all year round.
100%.
Like setting boundaries, not spending our time with people who make you 100%. Feel like shit. Finding gratitude in small moments, especially when life is really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also just finding presence. Like, I think in order to be grateful, we have to stop our minds from worrying and just find presence. So I think the mantra I've been repeating to myself a lot this year is the solution is never in the worry. You're not going to get to the answer in this headspace. So I've been giving myself a pass. When I'm in a stressed out headspace, I'll just be like, well, you ain't going to find it here. So guess what? You get to stop thinking about it, or you get to stop trying to solve this puzzle right now. And I think the holidays are a good moment to be like, do I really want to miss out on this time with my family or the joy my kids are experiencing or whatever you like about it because of the worry that's in my head? What's the cost? What's the cost of staying in this worry when I know the solution's not going to come up anyway? It's taking me out of the present moment. So how do you just find some presence during the holidays to enjoy the things you like about the holidays? Because they're going to pass. They're going to be, you know, a memory soon. So really focus on how do I make this memory something I can take in and like be here now, be present in it now. And one of the things that mindfulness teachers talk about a lot is like the five senses and how they allow you to be present. So like, what is the tactile feeling in that moment? What is the scent? What are you hearing? What's the music like? But like really check in with your senses. If you are someone who feels like you're in your head a lot, you're not able to be present and you want to be present this holiday season, use your senses and just check in through your senses and really allow your body, your mind, your soul to come into the moment.
Oh my God, new tagline, presence, not presence. Presence, P-R-E-S-C.
Is that new?
Yes. Did I not make that up? Do other people say that? Presence, not present.
I love it. If other people don't say that, that's
trademark.
Our first shirt that we're selling. I live on vibes only, and then presence, not present.
Presence, not present. Does everyone get that? I wanted to spell presence, but then I couldn't think of how to spell
it. I'm pretty sure that our listeners understood you.
Okay. Be present.
I believe don't in the intelligence present. Of our listeners.
I was going to look up how to properly spell it, but you're right. I'm going to give you a little credit.
Yeah,
give them credit, not credit.
Yeah. So mindfulness, presence, gratitude, and then again, just remembering that you can change any situation with your perspective. So is it possible to bring some lightheartedness or some humor into the chaos of the holidays? My brother is very good at this, where he can just sit there and laugh at us as we're stressing out over like the side dishes or whatever it is. Like, where is there room for lightheartedness? Because this is the season for some of that too. You know, how can you laugh at yourself or laugh at the situation? Or, you know, if this were a rom-com or this were a comedy or this were someone telling this from a point of view of a stand-up comic, how might they see this situation? Find the levity in it. Find the humor in it. It really does make a big difference in the way that it feels in your system.
Great tip. Love that. And now I'm thinking of your brother, Naheed, making snide jokes to make us all laugh.
He always does that.
Totally.
Special. And he also likes to stir the pot. So it's a little weird because he stirs the pot and then he comes back and he brings the levity.
But it takes the edge off. It really does.
Yeah, it does. 100%. And it's always noticeable when he's not there because of that. Yeah.
I believe it. Totally. I believe it.
So I don't know. Those are my little tips. I think Yeah, you liked it. Do you feel less stressed out? I mean, you weren't stressed out anyway.
I wasn't stressed out anyway. But I do feel bad when I watch everybody look so stressed out during what I think is supposed to be like a beautiful time for people and a beautiful time to be together. But I know it's not that simple anyway for everybody. There is a lot of trauma in families and a lot of things. Oh, hashtag check out our re-aired episode 2 weeks ago about feeling triggered, because I know it's a real problem and we're saying these things like do a board game night and it's not that simple, but there are things like finding a moment of gratitude or being able to laugh at something that's applicable even in tougher situations.
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because you're right, there's all these family dynamics that come up around the holidays, and it does bring back a lot of old stuff and trauma and triggers. And so I think we didn't talk enough about boundaries, but like, suffice it to say, it is your holiday. It's about how you want to feel in community with others, but it starts with you feeling a sense of well-being.
Yeah.
So if being in a certain situation or around an old family member is not going to allow you to be in your well-being, then a loving no is the only answer there. Do not sacrifice your well-being, your mental sanity, your feeling of safety psychologically, just to make your family feel like they can go along with the same old traditions. Mm-hmm. It's okay. You're here to be the breaker of these traditions for a reason, if they are unhealthy, if they are toxic. You're healing everybody by breaking that chain. So don't go along with things that feel bad, because that's just the way you guys have done it. You know, especially if you're listening to this podcast, that means you are very much on your journey of being the healed one in your family.
Right.
And that comes with very, very good boundaries and very loving no's, that starts with loving yourself enough to give yourself that peace of mind this holiday season. That's the best gift.
And on the same note, and even though we just said it, for people who are really struggling financially, because I know that that can be make this year, this part of the year, so traumatizing and horrible and overwhelming. Do remember that for your children, it's really, they live on vibes, hardcore. They love gifts, but kids really live on vibes.
Yeah.
So if you can just keep it uppity, even with less gifts, that's what they'll remember, in my opinion, much more than the brand new makeup they wanted or what have you.
Totally. Well, Bean, happy Hanukkah.
Merry Christmas. And happy New Year to all our listeners. Thanks for another year with us. We're coming up to 100 episodes, me and you together.
Wow. We got to do a big one for the 100th episode. Yeah, we're really excited to come back in 2025. We have a lot of great ideas, some really interesting guests lined up. And, you know, one of the things that makes Bean and I feel so grateful is this podcast and the ability to come here and have this conversation with each other and with all of you. So we just want to take a minute and thank you for listening this year, for reaching out to us the way you do. Please don't stop doing that. I can't tell you what a gift that is. That would be the best holiday gift, is just to let us know that you're listening and what this podcast means to you. It sometimes Bean and I can have a wobble around, like,
a lot of wobbles.
Should we keep making it? Does it matter? And then we'll get a random message. And so I can't tell you how much those messages mean to us. So thank you. And then of course I have to plug, if you need a holiday gift, well, actually, I guess you're not going to get it in time for the holidays, but if you want to support,
you can print a picture.
You can pre-order my book, Higher Self, that comes out in March. So 2025 is going to be a big year for us here. And we wish you guys the happiest holiday season, the most peaceful, loving to yourself season of reflection and pause and rest, and a very happy new year. And we'll see you in 2025.
See you next year.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Bye. This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.